Amen. Today we celebrate a story which has a surprise ending, unlike what Kevin said to the kids. The disciples, Jesus' followers, did not know to expect the resurrection. Nothing turned out the way the characters thought it would, except Jesus. He was the only one. As readers, we've heard this story before, and so we can see the clues that the author planted along the way. But nothing in the study of the Hebrew Bible, no precedent in the history of the chosen people, and no words from the revolutionary rabbi himself prepared Jesus' followers for either his execution and certainly not his resurrection. On Wednesday, we will mark 50 years since our modern prophet, Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated, where the blow to our march towards equality affects us still. Jesus, like prophets before and after him, was killed for challenging political leaders and the religious status quo. His followers were exhausted and demoralized. The hope that they had experienced on Palm Sunday, where his leadership was publicly recognized, was destroyed, as that very kingship became his crime for capital punishment. Governments crush revolutionaries, and then people wait for a next generation, for new leaders to arise, and followers are forced to accept that this wasn't the one that was going to lead them after all. To fully enjoy Easter, we must remember that the expected ending was just end. Charismatic revolutionary leaders are killed, and that is the end of their story. And that's what Jesus' many disciples are experiencing, the crushing blow of placing all their faith in a leader who has been snuffed out. And as we listen in a minute, hear the final indignity that his disciples encounter. Not only was their hero publicly humiliated and tortured by Roman guards, but now someone has stolen his body. The women had hoped that when the rich man Joseph of Arimathea had provided for his burial, a dignity not usually given to victims of crucifixion, that their master's body would rest in peace, a proper Jewish burial and grave where they could mourn. Listen to the story told by disciples Mark and John of how Mary reacted to realizing that Jesus' body had gone missing.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side. They were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You'll see him there just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him."
For these three women who love Jesus, the nightmare of this Passover and Sabbath has not ended. There has been no rest. And they arrive to find that the dead body is not at rest either. It has been taken from the tomb, for that's the only explanation that makes any sense to them. The young man in the white robe said not to be alarmed, but nevertheless, they were overcome with terror and dread, afraid to say anything to anyone. They could not accept the words that Jesus was raised, only the fact that his body was gone. This was a cruel joke. The messenger's words made no more sense to them now than when Jesus had said himself repeatedly that he would be killed and raised. When I was in boarding school, April Fool's Day was a great opportunity for pranks. On April Fool's Day in 1989, my friend Becky and I wove cassette tape all throughout my roommate's belongings. I think cassette tape was already becoming obsolete by then. And my roommate responded by turning everything on my side of the room upside down. Why is it fitting that Easter fall on April Fool's Day? The resurrection turns our worlds completely upside down. Easter is an April Fool's Day like no other. A morning like this changed everything. Death is defeated through dying. What seems to be evil's greatest triumph becomes the God of love's victory. This solution to sin and violence, to submit to them both, is too ridiculous for humans to conceive. It can only be the mysterious wisdom of God, whose power is expressed through humility. The disciples needed evidence, eating with Jesus, listening with him, being with him, touching him, before they could really believe that death was not the end for their friend and their Lord. Their hope was not misplaced, and neither is ours. Our belief in the resurrection is not because it's the obvious plan. The cross wasn't clever. The resurrection is a beautifully ridiculous proposal that though we all die, God offers us the gift of new bodies. Bodies that are free from cancer, from MS, Parkinson's, depression, addictions, Alzheimer's, arthritis, when we will finally be whole, able to eat, talk, and laugh with our friends, worshiping a God who delights in being faithful and delights in salvation. This is an amazing absurdity for people who are formed from dust. And like the disciples, our worlds are turned upside down when we embrace the miracle of Jesus. The truth of encountering the risen Lord in person, in a blinding light on the road, in the stillness of our hearts, transforms us. We experience that Jesus has life. This apparent foolishness reveals a truth that resonates in the core of our beings, where we know and experience the power of the resurrection. That Jesus has risen indeed, and that belief in him as Messiah, as Savior, as chosen, begotten Son of the living God, completely, immediately, gradually transforms us. This is the mystery, the foolishness. That's what the Apostle Paul said over 2,000 years ago. He experienced and articulated that same tension. Paul saw us all as in process, living or dying, moving toward God or away from God, being destroyed by serving ourselves or being saved by serving God. As a devout Jew himself, he realized the foolishness of the message that he preached.
The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed. But it is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. It is written in Scripture, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will reject the intelligence of the intelligent. Where are the wise? Where are the legal experts? Where are today's debaters? Hasn't God made the wisdom of the world foolish? In God's wisdom, he determined that the world would not come to know him through its wisdom. Instead, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of preaching. Jews ask for signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, which is a scandal to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. This is because the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
Paul sees the world in categories, Jew and Greek, choosing God, rejecting God, unified in our common foolishness, each thinking that our own cultural wisdom is wise, definitely wiser than the other, whoever our other might be. But God's revelation doesn't fit into any of our categories. And choosing the foolishness of God, the divine April Fool's Day, embraces the absurdity of the eternal mystery. Last week I said that every day is Palm Sunday and Good Friday, tension wrapped into one. Today I suggest that perhaps every day is Easter and April Fool's Day. The resurrection is not divine calculus, it is divine comedy, where death and sin are emptied of their power, and the joke is on them. So how does understanding this divine comedy, the grand foolishness of the cross and resurrection, of Easter and April Fool's Day wrapped into one, change us? For some of us, it might be to not take our own wisdom and education and the rightness of our theology quite so seriously. For others, to recognize and embrace the absurdity and come to peace with the foolishness of serving God. It's a step of faith. Because whether or not it seems logical, God keeps showing up, keeps confounding us with faithfulness and little and sometimes large miracles, if we can open our eyes to see them. The evidence of Jesus' resurrection was right before their eyes. What grave robbers unwrap a dead body and then fold the face cloth neatly to the side before stealing out of the tomb? But when new evidence challenges our worldview, our minds struggle to integrate it. We have to either change our framework of reality or else reject the new information as incompatible. Belief in the resurrection demands a new way of thinking, and Jesus continually challenges our worldview. It is a mystery, a conundrum, an incredibly beautiful joke. Jesus demonstrated that ultimately, death is ended. Death does not have the last laugh. Jesus staked his life on that belief, and God followed through. God exhibited the incredible commitment to offer a new option, the bodily resurrection to eternal life for those who believe in absurdity, that God loves us and has always loved us, and commissioned Jesus to show us just how much. Today, the communion tables are open to each one of us as a feast, a taste of the new kingdom, where God's faith and faithfulness reign, where death is not final, but temporary, that with the resurrection of Jesus, the whole world has been turned upside down. Power is upended, and in choosing to follow Jesus, to embrace his kingship in our lives, Jesus turns our worlds upside down as well. May we live into this upside-down kingdom of God more and more each day.